don't know if I need much introduction. Jason's already told you I'm here, and you do have the cards in your bulletins today that tell you a little bit about me. If you don't know, I'm going to give you, part of this will be sharing about our ministry, but some of it will be a personal update as well. I'd like to ask you if you would read the scripture again that Sarah read for us this morning, if you just read it together with me. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Okay, next. So, some of you know that 18, almost 19 years ago, we were sharing with you in, I think we weren't able to tell you until May or so, that we were going to be leaving for Thailand as missionaries, and that we would be doing that, needing to leave at the beginning of July. So it was a rather quick announcement, but we wanted to, I want to say to you even now how much that celebration that you did of commissioning us to go, how much that encouraged us and supported us during our years there. We often talked about that time together. I still can picture people up here at the front of the church. And thank you for celebrating and sending us it so well. And also thank you for the support you've continued to give, not just financially, which has been very important, but also just your friendship and your words of encouragement, inviting us to come back each time when we've been back in America. Your support financially has been very important. This church has split their giving so that part of it was to support Chuck and me in being able to be there, but you gave half of your support to support the programs that we were trying to do. And we didn't have a lot of support for those kinds of things from churches. And so, especially as we moved into that whole area where we had to raise our own support, if we're allowed to say that now. And so the financial resources you gave us allowed us to do some of the things that you've seen over the years that we did. And so just as a way of review, I'm going to go through some of those pictures for those of you who may not have been part of our sending off or know who we are. This is my husband, Chuck, and he was a pastor here from 1991 to 1999. And as I look at the parsonage next door and see Jason and Sarah moving in with their little ones, I think of how we did that in 91 with our two little ones. It's very special. Okay, next, please. We went to work with a group of people called the Akha. The Akha are a minority people group that live primarily in southern China. There's 1.5 million still living in China. Today, they're about 300,000 in Burma or Myanmar, and 100,000 in Thailand, and now some have moved into Laos and Vietnam as well, primarily looking for a better way of life. Just like we find here in America, people coming from Guatemala and Mexico and other places to try to have a better way of life and to get away from, in some cases, persecution by governments or by gangs. And we have that too. And so they've come. This is Thailand. And we just had the story about the elephant. So if you think of an elephant head, it has the two ears and then the trunk going down. Can you sort of see that? So next, please. I want to talk about the fact that things have changed over the time that we've been in Thailand. This was the village that we visited in February of 2001 when we had first moved there. And in fact, they ended up building a house for us in this village so that we could be more connected with them. But if you look at the next picture, you'll see what's happened. It's the same view, but look at the homes. So their standard of living has increased, and they have been able to change their homes into more permanent structures with cement block and metal roofs or tile roofs. Of course, we thought the other was so picturesque, you know, we'd be like, don't change. But it really was better for them because the bamboo and the thatch don't last very long. They have to replace it very often. So, next. And this is the city just 20 minutes away from that village. So you can be in the city, you can go to the mall, you can go to Pizza Hut or Kentucky Fried Chicken. They love that. On one hand, and then on the other hand, you can be feeling like you're in the remotest part of the world, just a little ways away. But what's happened is as their lifestyle has changed and they can't be nomadic people, they've had to settle in one place, and that's changed their way of life so much because they were agricultural. They were just based on survival mentality, you know, living off the land and then moving to a new place, and they can't do that anymore. So many of the villages have moved closer to the cities, and more people are getting jobs in the cities. Next. So I'm going to go through these fairly quickly, Jamie. This is Chuck visiting churches. We did that regularly. There were 45 churches in the Christian organization that we were part of. Next. Today we have about 85% of the Aka are professing Christians, coming from animism, which is a worship of spirits and ancestors, to now professing Christ. Next. Now it's exciting because through the support that many different groups have done of bringing the gospel to the Aka in Thailand, they are now ready to reach out to their brothers and sisters in China and Laos. Most of you know that Chuck is 6'5", and the two of us would be pretty obvious if we went to China or Laos and tried to go to visit villages and talk about Jesus is not allowed. So now the Aka are taking this on as their own task, and some of the support that you give indirectly then supports them to do this. This is a program that American Baptist Churches International Ministries is supporting with a grant where he does Aka Christian programming by radio, and they send it to Philippines, and then it goes from Far East Broadcasting into Laos and China, so they know every night for half an hour they can listen to an Aka Christian program on a radio. And so part of this is smuggling the radios in to Laos and China so they can hear the word. Next. Many of you know that Chuck was involved in drug rehabilitation, particularly with opium. Next. We always felt that every village and every family deserved to have clean water. So many churches, including yours, have helped to support clean water projects. And you can see it's not very complex. You don't have to be much of an engineer to put pipes together 3 kilometers from a spring by gravity down to a village. And the villagers always help. And it's always been a joint project with the villagers. Next. One of the things that has happened over the years was with the opium. I think it wasn't until 1975 that opium was illegal in Thailand. Can you believe that? That doesn't seem, maybe to some of you that seems like a long time ago. To me, that seems fairly recent history. And they had to get rid of all the poppies that were grown for opium. So a lot of the Aka who lived in the mountains lost that income. And so American Baptist International Ministries and others, along with the UN, helped to introduce coffee. And we just hit the world at the right time when coffee became so popular. And one of our missionaries, Mike Mann, has a contract with Starbucks and with McDonald's to provide coffee. So we have a market too, which is awesome that God has provided a way for us to market the coffee. Next. As for me, I was working with the Aka Craft Program. If I ask how many of you own something from Aka Crafts, I can imagine there's quite a few hands that would go up. I brought things many times here, and it helped to bring income into the villages for the women and the families, especially as electricity came in and schooling came in. Those are great things, but they require cash. And so they had to figure out how to earn some money. And as you may know, Thailand is fairly well known, unfortunately, for particularly women, but yeah, some men, boys too, being either sold into human trafficking situations or going to cities with promises of jobs that didn't end up being those jobs, but they ended up in a brothel or prostitution. And so while we weren't directly involved with that, this was one of the ways that we tried to help prevent women from having to leave the villages to go find other types of work like that, and they could stay with their children. We did Sunday school training next, and this was one of the Sunday school classes that I worked with. As you can see, basically what they have in their hands is their total resources for Sunday school that we had. They don't have Sunday school Christian resources in Thailand in general, and specifically not in the Akha language. And so the internet's a wonderful thing. I would go in and look up a story and copy off a coloring page, and then they would each week learn a story, color the page, and then we went to a printer, had them bound into books so they each had their own book to take back to remember the story of Jesus or the parables of Jesus, etc. Next. Leadership training was very important. Next. Women's retreats, some of you might be able to relate to those here in Ohio. Next. And these were the leaders of the women's group that I worked with. Next. Okay, now we're coming to education, and I'm going to be focusing more on this because you may or may not know from your missions committee that now Chuck has stepped out of the mission role and is pastoring a church in Pittsburgh, which God provided for us. We actually came back specifically to take care of his parents in Greensburg, Pennsylvania. And we actually live in a very small room in the back of their house so that we can do that. But in the meantime, we feel like God really opened the doors for him to have this pastorate in Pittsburgh and also to give me a continuing job with International Ministries. So your mission board and you have kindly agreed to continue supporting me in that role. I'm now considered a regional consultant for education. I'm also the advocate for education, which are two different roles, but I have both of them at the moment. And this year I'm on a special assignment to help gather information from all our educational ministries around the world and create a database that shows if they're being effective and who's being impacted and what are the results of the educational work that's being done. And are there places that we're missing something or that we need to close because things have changed? So I'm really excited about that. I've been a teacher. I trained to be a teacher and I've been working as a teacher in Thailand. And they asked me if I would continue to serve International Ministries in this way to utilize the expertise and experience that I've had over these many years. STEP is the Student Tuition Expense Program, and some of you sitting here today have actually supported students through this program. It's like Compassion or World Vision, and I wanna thank you for what you did to be part of that. This is one group of kids that came to one of our gatherings when we, about twice a year, we would try to bring the children in from their villages or dorms and just share with them, find out what God's doing in their lives. And their sponsors often would, we would give gifts from their sponsor at Christmas time, and they often gave little gifts to come back to their sponsors. But this is a very important program that helps children who wouldn't otherwise necessarily get to go to school. And even though it's required there, there are expenses that have to be paid. And so you have helped to do that. Next, please. This is one group of children that's up in the village that Chuck has told you about that formed when some of the drug addicts became Christians, and then their village kicked them out because they said, if we have Christians in our village, then the spirits are going to curse us, so you have to leave. And so 16 of these families all had to leave and form a new village. And so these are some of the children there, and we just support them with $30 a year. It's not even a very big amount, but they don't actually have any sponsors right now. So if that's something you'd like to help with, please let me know. Next. And we always try to follow the students and celebrate with them as they complete one level of education and try to help them think through what's the next step. Some go back to their villages and help with their families. Others will go on to vocational training or maybe even to college. We now have some students who are finishing college. One of our STEP students is just finishing her master's degree in public health and intends to go on to be a doctor. So it's very exciting. Next. If you look at the little girl in the front row on the left, in the red jacket, second end, that's Jara C when she was in fourth grade, and that's Jara C getting married. That was last year, and she has a little baby, and she's an accountant, and she's one of six children, and this is so unexpected in their life, in their expectations of what would ever happen. She's the second of the six kids, and she would have normally stayed home and taken care of the little ones and maybe never gotten to go to school at all. And today she's a loving mom, she's a Christian, and she just so appreciates what everyone has done for her. She finished university with the help of some people here in Ohio, actually. Next. And many of the youth are getting baptized. Their retreat this year in April, I heard they had 250 young people that came to their annual youth retreat, and that was exciting. Next. Now this is some of you are gonna look at that and go, whoa, is that the same school? This is the Chiang Rai International Christian School, and I've been working there for all the time we've been in Chiang Rai because our children didn't have a school to go to, and so we started a homeschool co-op, and it developed into an international school. I was principal of that school for 5 years until our youngest son, Kenny, graduated, and then when I went back, they asked me if I would continue to work with them in development and basically fundraising, and your church, again, has been very supportive of this project, and so you have a piece of that development there. If you see the red-brown strip across, that was news that we got in January of 2014, that long ago, that there's a road coming through, a major superhighway. They changed the direction of it, and it now is coming through our property. We had to knock down three of our new buildings and build on the other side of the property. So that's where we're at now. And the road is about to open. And we just had a fundraising campaign to raise money for a wall. One of the Thai families going to the school offered a 1 million baht matching gift, which is about $32,000. And so we were able to make that match with gifts from churches and individuals. And now they'll be able to have a wall to help protect the kids. It's the property literally is one yard from the edge of the road, you know, the shoulder. So it's very dangerous. There's not any protection for the kids or for the school. So we're excited to see that that's going to be the next thing to happen. Next. We have about 30% Thai students, and the rest are children of, we call them servants, those who go to serve God in Thailand and didn't have a way to stay there unless they homeschooled or sent their kids away. And that was one thing that we just didn't want to see happen. We wanted to keep families together. And so we're continuing to keep that family emphasis in the school. Next. And you can see how it's grown. Some of you will look and say, wow, this isn't the size you remember. This is our new auditorium, and we have 200 students now, as well as a large staff. Many of you know that the teachers and staff at the school that are foreign don't get paid. They are all considered missionaries, and so they all come with their own support to work there. Having said that, I'm also supposed to recruit teachers. So don't let that deter you. If you feel like you or someone you know would like to come and have an exciting time in Thailand, this is an awesome place to come and work. You use English as your main language. That's what they need and want. And the community there is fabulous. And the Lord is really working through so many people in that area. Next. The last 4 years I've been teaching second grade while I've been doing other things because they were short-handed. But again, that's because we didn't get enough teachers. We need those teachers. If you know anyone, please let them know about it. Next. And the cool thing for me was that we were able to integrate the ministry with our ACA community and the international school. And it wasn't just any ACA student, because you have to be evaluated to figure out if it's going to make sense. If you're in a village and you don't have computers or electricity, you're not going to be able to keep up with a international program. And we wanted kids to stay with their families. So these children represent the children of leaders of other ACA Christian groups who, it brings them together. It's awesome how the school is bringing the families of these different groups together and allowing them to work together in a different way. And it gives the children a different worldview of a Christian worldview that we are offering them. Next. The New Life Center is right next door to us. Sometimes we think of only traditional schools for education. I'm being asked to do everything from preschool to vocational to college, everything except theological education and health education. Those are covered by other people. So we have a lot of ministries, even in Thailand, where we're ministering to preschool children from the slums in one ministry, or Nightlight, where they're taking women out of the brothels and bars and giving support to their children to go to school. Or New Life Center, where these young women never got a chance to go to school, like I was telling you, they have a program for kids 16 and up so that they will have that opportunity to do an adult education and then study haircutting or cooking or go to college. And now we have our first lawyer that's come through that program. So it's awesome. And that's an American Baptist program as well. Next. And now the STEP program that we started in Chiang Rai, we've expanded up into Myanmar, into Burma, in the Shan state. It's still fairly, it's like Thailand was about 60 years ago. And one of the things that's made me want to be involved in education even more now is because I'm seeing what we did in Thailand. We took kids out of villages and put them in dormitories. Not just we. This was the general trend when there weren't schools, and it was the only way the tribal kids could get schooling 60 years ago. Today, that's not true. There have been schools built in their areas, yet the villages are still used to this idea, and they keep sending their kids out. So half of our villages we'd go to during the school year, and there's no children above the age of 4, up to, say, 9th grade. And for me, this is very painful. I feel like the family is where you should be learning most of what you learn in those early years. In college, I learned that we learn 90% of everything we learn in our life by the age of 12, if you consider learning how to walk and talk, some of the very big things that we learn, by the age of 12. And I'm like, okay, let's let that time be done in the family unit, not in a dormitory. I feel like we're raising up third culture dorm kids, I call them. They grow up there and then they don't know what to do with their children. They don't know how to be a family. So although what I'm doing is called consultant for education, for me it's about family and community too. It's all tied together. And so up in Myanmar, they're still developing some of that. And instead of doing the same thing the way we did it, are there new ways we can think about doing that? How can we strengthen local villages, local churches? Next. We also have 3 Bible students that are being supported there, and it's a cool thing they're doing. They're looking for students from areas that are unreached, have no churches at all, who come and do Bible school for 3 years with the commitment that they will go back to the unreached, their home, and then spread the gospel there. And they're very intentional about this project, and I think it's really neat. Next. So they're still doing the big dormitory thing at this time, but these kids would not have any other way to go to school because there are no schools in their villages. So I'm talking with these people and saying, can we think about new ways to do this? Next. So you can see that education continues to make a big difference for all these children, whether they're Thai or ACA or international, for that matter. And I just want to say to you, thank you for supporting me and to allow me to continue trying to work in this area of education, which is one of our biggest ones that International Ministries has been involved in for many years. Education is one of the main ways that you go into countries, even today, and was true in the past, too. And so I'm excited about it, and I will continue to report back to you on what I find out, and thank you. Last one is just to I've shown this to you each time we come. Chuck and I had a wonderful time in Thailand. We were so grateful for being able to be there. It was very fulfilling, very exciting, but we recognize that any good thing that happened was God's doing in His Spirit. We just were the hands and feet that you allowed us to be by supporting us, and so we give God the glory for all of that. I will answer more questions for you in the side room. If you want to hear more about the family, I'd love to share that with you. I don't want to take too much time right now. There's one story I just wanted to share with you because I know many of you are asking about Chuck in particular. Chuck came home last summer, and his dad was very, very ill. He had shingles, pneumonia, and impacted bowel all right after each other. And we really were thinking, you know, we don't know how long he'll be able to survive. So Chuck took a family leave for 2 months. I came back only for a couple weeks. During that time, there was the search and the interviewing process going on. Chuck did not come back to Thailand till September 1st, with the church saying, we want you by October 1st. Well, that was like, what? We have 1 month to tell the ministry that we're leaving and pack up and do all that. But we were going to try. The next day, Chuck probably pushed himself too hard. He had, you know, it's 12 hours difference in Thailand, so there's a huge jet lag issue. When it's noon here, it's midnight there. And by this time, it was 6 in the evening. So he'd gone through what would have been nighttime here, and he was driving back home. I actually talked to him and said, you're kind of late. Are you almost home? He said, yeah, I'll be there in 10 minutes. 5 minutes later, he called me and said, you've got to come. You've got to come. I fell asleep. I hit a motorcycle. I hit these girls. And I was like, what? And I went there. He was like literally within about 2 kilometers from our house, which is less than 2 miles. And he had come to about 5 yards in front of the motorcycle. And he was headed straight for the motorcycle, and these girls didn't have any helmets on. Had he hit them head on, this story would be really different right now. I don't even know when we would have been able to leave Thailand. But he swerved, and he still caught them with the front roll bar on the truck. So each of the girls ended up with a broken leg. But they were thrown from the motorcycles, no head injury. They were Akka. They were Christian. This family was unbelievable because they said, we know who you are. We know who you are. We know you've been here serving God and serving our people, and we don't want to have any problems. We want to bless you. I mean, the first night I was taking the mom home to her house, and I was driving her to the hospital the next morning. And they were calling us and asking us to come pray for the girls. And by the end, we were eating lunches at their house. And the parents said, we think God wanted us to know each other. Unbelievable. And at the site of that accident, some of you know that one of our biggest difficulties in those early years, for the first 10 or 12 years, was the leadership of Akka Churches of Thailand. Was one family. They'd been in there for 30 years. We felt, we're not proud people. We don't need to be like on a pedestal, but we felt pretty, we were disrespected by the leader, the head person. Don't you know, he was one of the first people to show up at that accident because his dormitory was close by. And I said, he came up to me because Chuck said, I can't even go over there and look. Can you go see if the girls are alive? I think they're dead. So I'm there and he comes to me and I said, Johan, I'm trying to deal with stuff here, but Chuck's alone over there. Could you go be with Chuck? Do you know he went over And he stayed with him. He got in the truck. He stayed with him through the police visit. Chuck's Thai language kind of went somewhere in the shock of all this and his tiredness. And he helped go through all of that with him, waited for the insurance guy to come. Pouring rain. It was dark. He stayed with him through the whole thing. And it wasn't till, I don't think it was till we came home that I realized. And I said, wow, even that felt like God had worked it out. So there was a kind of reconciliation and coming together in a relationship that had been quite painful at times. And there were just so many ways that we saw God's hand at work. It was a terrible shock for Chuck, that, and he got the flu. Some of you said, what was that picture where he was looked like he was dead? I shouldn't have posted that, I guess. He had the flu. We were trying to pack up and leave. And this spring, he had an awesome opportunity. Missionary friends of ours had brought two Thai boys home with them, and she was dying of cancer, and they had to send one of the boys back, and they didn't have a chaperone. And so his agency had said, we will send someone back, round trip paid for from Atlanta to Chiang Rai. The boy turned out to be Aka, and I got to get the trip for Chuck to go back, and he had a wonderful 8 days there of time to have closure with some of the people that he'd missed out on because of just how traumatic it was. So God even continued to provide, and he came back on May 4th, and the church had their installation on May 6th, and he said when he got back, okay, I'm ready to focus on Pittsburgh now. So that's just a little catch up for you on Chuck. He's doing well. It's not always easy living with the parents or in-laws, but we really believe we're where God brought us to be, and his dad has recovered so well, I think partly with our consistency of being there and giving good food and medicine on time and things like that. So we just are at peace with that. But thank you for praying for me as I continue to work out what this role is that I'm doing. And thanks for trusting me, because I know it doesn't make a lot of sense to some people. Like, how can you be a missionary and be living in America? But there are, in this day and age, people who need to do that to help coordinate the ministries that are going on around the world. And we can do a lot with technology. We can Skype to people, and I hope to do some traveling as well. Thank you for letting me share with you this morning. God bless you all.